Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. By the way, on tomorrow's show, we'll talk about the biology, chemistry, and physics behind the production of alcohol and the science behind what happens to us when we drink it. We'll talk about why we like it and the hangovers. That's tomorrow on the Brian Lehrer Show, The Science of Alcohol. Imagine that you're living a family lifestyle with a spouse and a few kids, but things happen in the world that leave you gripped with a desire to explore your spiritual side, but really deeply, intensely, to go on a pilgrimage and try out new religions and experiences, to leave home in a way, hoping for personal growth and a deeper connection with morality, community, and God, whatever that is. Well, that happened to my next guest. Lee Kravitz lives in Manhattan with his wife and kids. His previous book was a critically acclaimed memoir called Unfinished Business. Maybe you read it. He has been editor-in-chief of Parade magazine. His new memoir, with the story I just set up, is called Pilgrim, Risking the Life I Have to Find the Faith I Seek. And full disclosure, folks, Lee Kravitz's son and my son play on a baseball team together. I met Lee and his wife first as fellow parents this spring, and then learned he had this book coming out. So I've heard some of this story behind the batting cage at fields here and there in the Bronx. And hi, Lee. Welcome to WNYC.
Well, thanks, Brian.
Is 9/11 a good place to start?
Yeah, it is a good place to start because 9/11 was so disruptive. It challenged everything I had really thought about the world, particularly in terms of being a parent. How could I explain this to my four-year-old kids at that time? And I didn't feel like I had any ready answers to give them the security and sense of the world that I wanted to.
And you lost your job along the way that played into it?
I lost my job as editor-in-chief. I felt very of Parade. I felt very vulnerable after that. And then later I had a health scare. I thought I was having a heart attack. And I found myself calling out for God. I felt my mortality.
What kind of religion did you grow up with?
I grew up Jewish in Cleveland, Ohio, in a conservative synagogue where there wasn't much talk about spirituality or God. And so when I first started to feel that aching, that urge, that longing that I had, I didn't really think about Judaism as the place to begin.
And lots of people become more religious as they get older without it threatening their home lives. Why do you frame your book as risking the life you have to find the faith you seek?
Because my wife, who you know, is a humanistic Jew, an atheist. We were married by the man who founded humanistic Judaism, which takes God out of Judaism and embraces the humanistic elements of the religion. And she didn't get the God stuff, my God yearning, or the fact that our family life wasn't enough for me.
So you went on a quest, and you limited the geography of your quest to about 100 miles from New York City. So no ashrams in India, no gurus in Nepal.
And the only whirling with dervishes I would do would be in the New York area.
Did you whirl with any dervishes?
No, but I whirled and did ecstatic chanting and singing with Hindu kirtan singers.
You identified at first two religions to explore in more depth, Mahayana Buddhism and liberal Quakerism, as you call it in the book. Is there a liberal and a conservative Quakerism?
Well, the liberal Quakerism tends to not necessarily have a God focus or a Christ focus. It's a little more open and hence less orthodox than other forms. But I was drawn to these because they're really contemplative traditions. And I felt a need, being in New York with all our craziness and chaos and the inability to really think and center oneself, that I wanted to experience other practices. Quakerism was the first.
And how deep a dive did you take into Quakerism, and what was that like? Because, you know, everything I know about you, you weren't doing this as a tourist to just see what this is like and just see what that is like and, oh, isn't that interesting? you were really looking for something.
Yes, I was very much looking for something. Over a course of about 2 years, I went to many meetings, Quaker meetings. There's one in Riverside Church, 12 floors up, that I'd go to on occasional Sundays. And I'd sit there, and I'd go in not with a judging mind, but with the mind of someone who was open to what there was to offer me. And Quakerism is about listening to the promptings within, and it's about sharing very carefully what you feel and about listening to other people. And I read a lot. Whatever I experienced, I read a lot. The core texts, the biographies of the founders and the poets who had written most beautifully about them.
So I wonder who's listening right now who relates to Lee Kravitz, author of the new book, Pilgrim, Risking the Life I Have for the Faith I Seek. Anyone else consider yourself a religious seeker who earnestly shopped around for, I think it's fair to say, not just a belief system, but a faith community that you would fit into? If so, did you find one? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And I want to come back to this idea of risking the life that you had and what this meant potentially for your family as you were doing it. The push and pull between your wife Elizabeth and you around your quest, was it more the lifestyle of religious sampling you were doing, you're gallivanting around, literally, physically, or was it more at the level of theology, because you mentioned her atheism in comparison to your emerging religiosity?
Well, I think at the first level was that I spent so many years censoring myself around my wife as I had feelings of wanting to explore God. I just wouldn't talk about it, particularly when there was tragedy in her life, when she lost a brother in a car crash, when her father died young. I didn't feel like I could really talk about what was percolating in myself. So there was that tension constantly. There was also the feeling that the more I got into these various, Buddha at age 29 left his wife and child to go out and on his spiritual quest.
Today they call Buddha a deadbeat dad.
Yeah, that's what, exactly. And Jesus said you had to hate your family if you were going to become a true disciple of him.
In what sense did he mean that?
He meant that I think that if you were going to be reborn again into a new consciousness and a deeper spiritual consciousness, you had to separate yourself from everything in your old life that held you back.
And yet I think there's hardly anybody in the contemporary world, I think, in this country, who accepts that notion, that if you're going to be an enlightened person, the most deeply spiritual possible person, it's the opposite of sitting on top of a mountain or in an ashram. It's by engaging with your family, if you have a family, by engaging with your community, by being that kind of selfless leader rather than somebody who sets themselves apart so they can experience something that they call God and feel good.
Absolutely. And everything I had was a push and pull between the two, a push and pull between being a monastic person who was – and also, that deep love I had for my children and wife.
What's the monastic impulse?
The monastic impulse is to be in a perfectly contemplative place where you simply listen to that urge to be at one with God or the universe, and among a group of people who are similarly looking for that.
And you bring
no
out
distractions.
So many styles of that, the contemplative, as you were describing with the Quakers, for example. And then later in your journey, you write, you found yourself worshiping with Hindus and Hasidic Jews, two of the groups that had been near the bottom of your initial list.
Right. All that ritual and the way they distinguish themselves in the world was at first something I could not see myself doing. But boy, when I was worshiping among the Hindu devotional bhakti yoga,
and what is that like?
Singers?
It's ecstatic,
a
jumping around.
It's call and response, praying the names of God. There are people like Krishnadas and Jayutal who you might hear in New Age recordings. But when you're in the midst of people doing that, you feel your heart rhythms, and there's real science behind this. melding. It's wonderful, the ecstasy. And the ecstasy of Hasidic Jews in their way of worship is really tremendous, too. And all of that moved me back toward the religion of my birth, which we might get to.
Well, that's the spoiler, right? That you wound up coming back to Judaism.
I come back to Judaism because all of these roads, contemplative, ecstatic, the yoga, the meditation, the deepening relationship with the divine, I found myself being pointed towards a movement in Judaism called Jewish Renewal, but also a particular community of people that was only five blocks away from where I lived on the Upper West Side, a community called Romamu, which was in a church, a Presbyterian church, and a growing community where on Friday nights 500, 600 people gather seekers. It's a place for seekers. And
let's hear from some of your fellow seekers.
Yes.
Because judging from our board, you are hardly the only person who has gone through this. You will find some community among our listeners.
Great.
Like Allison in South Orange, perhaps. Hi, Allison. You're on WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thank you for answering my call.
Tell us your story.
My story is that I was raised Presbyterian, and my children's dad was raised Catholic. And neither of those religions really were something we brought into our adult life at all. And in fact, we kind of went the opposite way, just none whatsoever. And then when we had our first child, we were thinking about it. I really wanted a home for my kids. And so we found the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Montclair. And we started going there, and it's just a fascinating, open-minded place. And in fact, we've been there about 7-8 years as members. My kids are now they're one's in the 7th grade, one's in the 8th grade, and this year's curriculum is called Neighboring Faiths. And the whole religious education lesson this year is my children and all the other kids going to different houses of worship to learn what is the dogma, what is the ritual, what is the physical space like, what are the core beliefs. And so they've been to a Hindu temple, they've been to a Quaker meeting, they've been to...
Tell me what, that's so fascinating that as a matter of curriculum, they kind of went on the quest that Lee went on to find himself in his 50s.
Right.
And what have they come back? Give me one little anecdote, if you can, that they've come back with.
Well, most of the occasions, the kids, you know, the more intellectual kids got a deeper understanding, obviously, than some. But my daughter particularly enjoyed the Quaker service because of the contemplative quality of it. She's a kid who finds a lot of noise and distraction in her life and has a hard time focusing, so she really liked that. And my son loved Greek mythology, and he really loved the Hindu temple because he thought it was so interesting what the different gods represented.
Great. And Allison, I'm going to leave it there. It's great, great, great story, and as our time is short, I'm going to get at least one other person on here to tell hers, but thank you so much. Call us again. Doris in Kinnelon, you're on WNYC. Hello, Doris.
Hi there.
So you had a longing, you told our screener.
Yes, I did. Same thing when I turned 50, that my faith at the time and church experience had been rather hollow and just not authentic. And so I began the journey of discovering my authentic self and experiencing different faiths. And where I am now is I don't believe in denomination, but I believe all faiths offer something to all of us.
But if that's where you land, were you able to find some kind of community, as Lee was with the Romamu congregation?
Great question. Yes, I did, because I'm part of a contemplative group. The challenge is when we come together, it's beautiful, and I feel I'm with my own kind, but going back into community where you live and living that out, that is the biggest challenge.
Doris and Lee, was this sort of a midlife crisis for you, both hitting it at roughly similar ages? This is only instead of wanting to go out and buy a sports car to recover your youth, you wanted to find religion? Doris?
You know, in a sense, yes, because for me it was, I just had a sense there a longing for something more, something deeper, that God is more than what I see out in the world, in my case, in the churches that I had been attending.
Thank you very much.
And absolutely. You get to a point where you're growing older, your kids are growing older, you're experiencing friends dying, you've gone through your career, and you're wondering, what can help me become a better human being and live a more fulfilling life? And for some of us who are spiritually constituted, that journey we can take is in the direction of spirituality. And the one thing I want to say is, because this is a New York City-based show, there is no better place to take a pilgrimage like this than New York City. You can walk down any street and find yourself with just a wealth of religious traditions.
So did your family wind up coming along with you in the end to your congregation blocks from your home?
No. They haven't, and it's still a sadness, but we found our middle way, as the Buddha would say, and my wife makes a wonderful Shabbos dinner every Friday. She bakes the challah. My kids experience the rituals in their own time. They may or may not come to where I am, but my wife and I are no longer plagued by differences over God. What we see is that our spiritual unity, our life, our joy comes from the act of parenting our children to be better human beings.
And maybe that was what you found by going out and seeking all that time. One of your teachers said, "We are wanderers, worshipers, and lovers of leaving who are called home." And I thought that was such a great line. Lovers of leaving who are called home. Is that paradox? How much is that the moral of your story?
That's very much. I had to go away in order to come back with fresh eyes. And I may have to go away again to come back with fresh eyes. But that's what seeking about in spiritual growth. We have to continually ask ourselves those questions, test our boundaries, and go out with an open heart and open mind.
Lee Kravitz has written Pilgrim, Risking the Life I Have to Find the Faith I Seek. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian.